Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Joel Elston here. Today is Thursday, August the 30th, 2018, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, your first daily dose of happy for the day. And we welcome Joel back after a couple of weeks away because he was down in Florida, back in his old haunts, giving a talk to his town's Chamber of Commerce, which must have been an amazing experience, despite what's going on with the red tide there on the west coast of Florida. But just being back there in that position, considering how you left all those years ago, that must have been just absolutely amazing, Joel.
It really was. It was great to get back and share literally a lifetime of information and hope and you know, considering I left I left in disgrace and failure and come back and sort of in victory, you know, sort of built from that failure. It was well received. A lot of people were there. Great feedback. The concept, while it was not the direct topic, but the concept, of course, with pretty much everything in my life is the law of attraction.
And right.
The message was well received and I had great feedback from that. So it was really enjoyed being there, but I also had the sort of I always have, you know, insight. I like to always look for insight, but I realized that while that is my hometown and my home area, you know, when toward the end of the trip, I was ready to quote unquote go home.
Go home, right?
I needed, yeah, and you know, home is now Virginia, and I'm not saying that will always be home, but right now I'm very comfortable in Virginia. I love Virginia, and it was nice to be there, and nice to be able to say, you know, this is. A pretty good idea that I can make home wherever I am.
Yeah. I'm curious, when you were there, I wonder if it felt anything like what I felt when I showed my hometown. I grew up in Schenectady, New York, and I showed my hometown to Louise within a year or two after we met, because we were, you know, sharing each other's histories, and you know, she would show me where she had ski bummed in Mount Snow, Vermont, and where her family had grown up in Maine and Massachusetts and Rhode Island and all that stuff. And I was showing her New York, and we got into town in Schenectady, and it was like I went into a time warp. All of a sudden, I was back in the 1960s and 70s, and it felt really, really strange. It didn't feel comfortable at all. And I'm curious, did it feel anything similar to that to you?
Well, mine's a little bit different in the sense that I've been back to town many times, but I've never been in the capacity of speaking or playing my professional role. So, it felt comfortable, but at the same time, and it sounds arrogant. I don't want it to mean I certainly have outgrown the area, and I don't mean that like they're any less than I am. The concept of you know, I had a couple of, you know, people just saying, you know, are you coming back? Are you ever going to be able to get back to Plant City? That's the name of the town. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, I'm never saying never on any one thing, but it's certainly not in my wheelhouse or what I'm searching for. It's not what I'm putting into the quantum field or the law of attraction, not what I'm trying to attract. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you see it was unusual. It was great to see people. So a lot of the several people were at this at my talk that were went to high school with me, and you know, that part was really awesome to see. And I, even though I didn't get, you know, really, really deep in it, was very pleased to see my message was accepted and not judged, because it, you know, again, a small rural town in Florida that you know, very conservative, very Southern Baptist, and you never know how this message is received by that population also. Sure. But it was clearly they did not see any conflict with that, and most agreed completely with what I was saying.
Well, that's fantastic. That's really great that you had that experience. And I saw some of your posts. You were enjoying the east coast of Florida, which is a little bit different for you because you're not from that part of Florida, but looked like you and your son and so forth were having a great time down there.
We did. We since the red tide had taken over the west coast, we would invade the east coast, so to speak, and we had a really good time. Anytime you're on the beach, it's a good environment, but you know, the east coast is a much different environment than the west coast of Florida.
Yeah.
And Cocoa Beach, a very popular beach. The space station is there. It's a big port where most cruises go out of Florida. Mm-hmm. So it's great. But again, on the same topic, it's not what I was used to. And while we enjoyed it, and we had a wonderful beachfront little cottage that we stayed in for a few days, it was good to get over to the West Coast. And I certainly, have my bias or my preference, I guess, is a better term for the West Coast. But the East Coast has its advantages. I like some of the bigger waves. The water's a little cooler on the East Coast, so. But we got to enjoy it. But the trip overall, again, was just a fantastic getaway. I felt very recharged, and I don't often feel like I'm exhausted or tired, but I came back with a really renewed vengeance of let's get things going again. It's summer's coming to an end.
Yeah.
So that's an excellent time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was also just reflecting. It didn't occur to me when you first told me where you were going, but you were actually very near where my brother lives. My brother works at Cape Canaveral. He does programming there for a contractor, and I just realized you were really, really close to where he was. You probably got closer to him now this year than I have in the last 3 or 4 years geographically.
Yeah, that was it's a very populated area, and obviously the whole space program there's a massive employer for that area.
Hell yeah.
We were planning on going to the Space Museum or seeing NASA and all that. We never made it. We had too many other things going on, but we did a lot of fishing. Justin caught a lot of catfish.
Good for him.
Catch and release. So we had a really good time. It was a great visit.
That's fantastic. And plus, you also have big news this week because you are now Dr. Elston, although I think you're probably trying to do everything you can to avoid the title, but that's what you are.
Yes, it's one of those things. I was I actually didn't know that showed up that way on Facebook, or I probably wouldn't have put it there, so you wouldn't have known about it. But I did complete my doctoral degree from Metaphysics University, and it's just a reinforcer of the law of attraction. It doesn't change anything in my environment other than I just have taken that next step. And as of course, as I do, I've immediately enrolled in a hypnotherapy school.
Oh.
And I'm working on becoming certified in biofeedback and neurofeedback as well.
Wow.
The one ended and another one started. It's just part of the process for me.
And you're enjoying every minute of it. I'm sure of that.
Absolutely.
That is great.
Absolutely.
That is great.
Yeah, we have so many, in my mind, I embrace the learning concept, and especially when it's in topics that, match my belief system, and the more I discover. So, I probably will just keep going and going and taking everything I can take, just one after another. It's a great way to live. And
yeah.
I don't watch any TV hardly anymore. And so that's sort of become my hobby of taking classes.
That's good. Well, hey, that's a good hobby to have. You certainly become very knowledgeable about a whole wide range of stuff, so much of which I'm sure you can use in your practice. And plus you find it fun. I mean, that's what a hobby is, right? It's something that's fun. Well, hey, if you're having fun, what better reason do you need to do it?
Completely, completely, yes.
Now, here's the thing that when I was writing up the topic for the day, I wrote it in Dr. Elston, I presume, because I didn't really know what the topic was going to be. I mean, usually you and I come up with something right before, and nothing was coming to me, and we connected right before the show. So I'm figuring, why don't we just start from this point, whatever this point is, and just go with it. Because I don't know what else to do with it at this point today. I didn't have any time to do any preparation. I had to drive one of our employees around today, this morning. So, just go with what's going on. Now, I can give you a couple things that'll kind of get the conversation started a bit. One is, you asked how I was doing before the podcast started, and I said it was an adventurous week. And it has been an adventurous week. There have been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of opportunities for growth, shall we say. And I've been embracing them, and I've been really working on getting myself into that really good place because I can't remember which co-host it was with. I think it may have been with, I'm not sure which one it was. I don't want to speak wrong about it. But with one of the co-hosts, we had a conversation at one time out of one of the books. I think it may have been with Cindy. I think it was from the book Money and the Law of Attraction, which we finished off last week. toward the end of that book, there's a little phrase. It's not even a phrase. It's a couple sentences. And the couple sentences are not directly saying what it is Abraham is saying. But when you piece it all together, what it comes out to is that appreciation equals bliss. And I had never thought of it that way. In fact, when I kind of measured my own levels of appreciation, I was thinking, I'm not sure I ever reached bliss. I mean, maybe I'm kind of missing a boat here. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. Because first of all, I know you're more of a gratitude guy. You like the idea of gratitude, and that's your favorite way of looking at stuff. But do you ever experience any of this stuff as bliss?
I do. That's a great word. I don't use it often, but when I'm in that deep appreciation, that deep gratitude state, it feels blissful to me. I think, again, with any of these words or phrases, it's what you assign the feeling to. As we talk about every week, in some form or fashion, the law of attraction is responding to the feel, the energy you're putting out, how you're feeling, not what you're thinking, how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are moments throughout the day, and it seems like it just increasingly are these moments where I feel that bliss is a great word, where I'm just really in tune with, you know, everything. I feel great. There's zero worry. I have a lot of stuff going on, but at the same time, I never feel overwhelmed. I've learned to handle the, you know, sort of the next step, whatever the next step will be. I know life has taught me whatever comes my way, I'm able to handle it. So there's nothing coming my way I can't handle. So with that knowledge, I feel grateful to have the life I have, and I'm excited about every day. So bliss is a great term. Bliss can, it's like any other phrase that you can have in your mind. It's what you define it. It's what you attach to an emotion. Blissful can mean different things for different people. And what you know, pure happiness or being, you know, in the state of bliss is just when you're really in tune. I often will, we talked about this for years, when I get there, I can feel the literal vibration. I feel the energy from it. And my goal always, I would love to have the life where I feel that all the time. But there's not a day that goes by that I don't feel it some. And some days I feel it for quite a bit of the day. So it's, you know, blissful for me, or being that blissful state, is that energy vibration that I'm putting out in the field that instantly attracts. I mean, it just brings to whatever I need to the table immediately when I'm in that mindset.
Well, I think you're right. There are different definitions. Everybody would have a slightly different perception of what bliss is. So maybe I should define mine. My perception of it is bliss is where I feel that really strong, positive, happy feeling, and it's visceral throughout my entire body. I mean, every part of my body is just like filled with it. And it's almost like bursting through the skin, so to speak, because it's just so palpable everywhere. Is that similar to what you experience?
Absolutely. And you know, whether it's, you know, and again, my anchor thought is gratitude, but it's for me, happiness is gratitude. That is the happy state for me.
Hmm.
It is how I find my happiness is through the gateway of gratitude, because when I, speaking for me, am living in that just extremely blissful mindset of gratitude, that's the energy that I'm trying to match every single day. And when you feel it, and it, to the point that it literally, like you're saying, tingles or almost comes out of your skin, you just feel the vibration in your body. That's what we're seeking. And in the beginning, that's a very elusive mindset. You might have little glimpses of it, but I do think it takes a while before you can feel that on a regular basis, and I am not to the point where I figure it on an everyday basis, but it is in the process of living that way and feeling that way. And I think there will be a time in my life where I that is a 24/7 feeling.
Mm, boy, well, certainly it's something for me to aspire to also. I mean, I'm very attracted to the idea of doing that. I know the reason I even bring this up. Whenever I am appreciating or feeling grateful about anything at all, I'm always trying to find where that most positive feeling is. I'm always, you know, trying to explore it as much as I can, knowing how the law of attraction works, kind of building up that momentum, so to speak. And I find usually I'm in a realm of like feeling comfortable or feeling, you know, pretty good or something like that. I can't think that I ever actually get to bliss on it. And I'm wondering, is there something like wrong with me that I never actually get there? Because it's not like I haven't been doing this for a short period of time. I've been working out for quite some time now, but I never actually get there. Do you have any ideas? What does it take to break through like that?
Wow, that's a great question. And I think that's sort of an individual driven thing, but now that you've identified it and you're seeing, I think you can put that in your what you're trying to attract.
That's true. I think I just did.
Yeah, well, and that's sort of where, now that you're aware that that's where you're, that next level. When we first started talking, I used to often say, you know, we're at the beginning of this. I was a kindergartner in law of attraction in my mind, you
Right,
know,
yeah, me too.
and I use that term many times, and you know, and I might be in sixth grade now, even, you know, but I still have more to learn. But as you move forward with it, you figure it. There's so many layers to this that about the time that I feel like, okay, I have it all figured out, there's a whole new world of opening. It's
Yeah,
like,
right. It's never ending.
you know, one of the things that, you know, I will present, and we'll do a group or a group, we'll do a session on it in the next week or two, is I am, as I mentioned, I'm going through, become a certified hypnotherapist. And there's multiple aspects of that, but there's also the school that I'm with is very much a law of attraction school and understanding. And if you think about how hypnotherapy is a direct attack on the, or a direct link to the subconscious, and the subconscious is what drives the law of attraction. I mean, it just, there's no better method of getting there. So within that, there's, you know, I've always been a vision board guy, and my version of a vision board, but they had, there's a topic that was developed by the founder of this school, and it's called a mind bank method.
Okay.
And it is a more of a way to sort of apply the law of attraction vision board with a tangible ledger. And you know, we can set that as a topic, and I don't want to even sort of really broach it because it would be confusing without getting into greater detail.
Okay.
But when we set it up for a show, but we can literally go by step of how to put anything, and it's a ledger based on dollars, but it doesn't have to apply to dollars only. It's simply what are you trying to attract in your field, in your world, and you can add that to it, and when you reward yourself by doing that on a daily basis, by sort of, you know, earning money in the bank, the mental bank, it is an incredible law of attraction facilitator. So that's something that we can excitingly look forward to in the next week or two.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. We can do that with next week's show if you'd like to, this mind bank concept, because it does sound
Yes.
fascinating. Do a little promo on it and so forth.
Right. And so, you know, within, you know, and within your question of how do you develop it, you develop it by first discovering it, you know, and saying, okay, that's what I'm striving for now. You have done a really good job in attracting a lot of great stuff in your life. And now that you're like, okay, there's another level that I didn't, you know, maybe I wasn't necessarily in tune with. Now I'm going to get to that level. And then that's when it's even more and more powerful. Of a tool where you just it doesn't even compare where I'm at now compared to where I, you know, was even 2 years ago is a much different place. And the progression in it is such a as I discover more and more, it's that's what's exciting to me. And when you see, like, you know, just completing the metaphysical school that I went through is there's so many little strings of law of attraction, how it touches on other stuff, and you know, how thought vibration and how it, all of this just is this massive underpinning of just sort of the answer to everything. And you can't have it all at once. You can only obtain it at the rate you can obtain it. So your next step will be this blissful feeling, and you've touched on it. You've felt it. You've tapped it a
Oh,
little
sure.
bit, but where you really get there, and you just feel that, you know, if there were a, there is, by the way, if part of what I'm also learning now is the neurofeedback portion, the biofeedback portion that is going to go along with my hypnotherapy practice. You can pick up people's energy on these devices. That it's just, you know, gratitude will have its own display for people. It really will. And there's an energy that you'll be able to identify with that of wow, you're in a really great state. You know, everything's where it needs to be. Your the energy you're putting out there is where it needs to be, and that excites me that you can actually see that.
Yeah, you mentioned devices. What kind of device are you talking about? I'm not really aware of something like that, unless you're talking like an ECG or something like that.
Yeah. They have several. You know, neurofeedback is basically reading the brain waves. Biofeedback is reading the, you know, various biological features in the body. You know, heart rate, sweat. You know, there's electrical current from stress. There's all kinds of things. You can, some of these machines are, you know, $30,000 machines. That sort of, there's neuro and biofeedback machines that go together, which just, wow, you know, they give you every single thing. And you know, once you, and the concept behind biofeedback or neurofeedback is you're training yourself. Like, for example, I'm just going to use the word biofeedback instead of saying it both words every time, but it works both ways the same way.
Okay.
Where, say, for example, I hook you up to a biofeedback machine, mm-hmm. and then we're talking, and you mention, you know, and you generically, when I say that, Walt, not necessarily your problems, but you mentioned something like money, which could be a factor for many people. And all of a sudden you have a stress response, mm-hmm. you know, when the topic of money was it. And so that's showing me your resistance within the law of attraction. Obviously, your emotion when you came up with money is not a positive one. It's a stress response.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is I will say, okay, Walt, you know, I want you to strain, like clench your fists and strain every ounce of all your muscles and stress over the money for just a second. And then you'll see the read go way high of being extremely stressed. And then we're going to be like, everything's okay. Now relax immediately. And when you do that, you learn to control that function within inside of you eventually you desensitize to the concept of having resistance toward money. And you desensitize, and it could be for anything. It's public speaking. People who have trouble public speaking do great results with this by sort of learning to internally control these things. You know, the Buddhist monks that have done this without the benefit of machines over the years control their heartbeat to the point they can slow it down or even stop it for short periods of time.
Hmm.
So you can control your body's response to stress by watching. And again, you're measuring all these factors from your breathing to your heart rate to the sweating. And all of that is under your control when you learn how to do it. So that's what we're trying to, in the law of attraction, what a great tool to help find where resistance is.
Yeah.
One of the case studies we were working on is this gentleman he's very unsatisfied with life and he just wasn't performing up to the level, and he's hooked up to all these machines and he's just talking in general, and they were asking just a bunch of different questions and seeing where he was at. And you know, when he got to the topic of his father and it went way off the chart and that sort of opening up the door. And well, it turns out his father was almost died from a disease when the young man was 8 years old. His father, and he almost lost his father. So there's stress about. And he didn't even realize how that was in his wheelhouse. So, once you're able to identify that stuff, you're able to go sort of, your father's fine. Your 8-year-old response is coming forward in your 35-year-old mind. And we can help extinguish that. And that could be part of the resistance. You know, he wanted to be a dad and he wanted to find a partner and he wanted to do all this stuff. But one of the factors in that was his resistance was the fear of being a dad and not being and putting his kid through what he went through is what eventually they came to.
Mm.
So you can see that as a really like, wow, this is impressive.
Yeah. Very impressive. I mean, it makes me think of something that I used to say I used to make jokes about it, made jokes about it here on the podcast, that when I first discovered this concept of resistance, first learned about it through an Abraham tape or a workshop or something, and realized that's why I wasn't getting my stuff, so to speak, my first reaction was to make a joke, and that was to look at my chest and say, where's the off switch? I want to turn the resistance off. Well, you just described essentially the equivalent of an off switch. I'm like, wow, right. I'm like blown away. There is a real off switch you can switch.
Right. And you know, you have things that happen that we don't even realize that are markers in the brain and all this other stuff. All this throughout our lifetime, we don't take time outs often to say, okay, let me address what happened. We have these events that happen. We view them as good, bad, or irrelevant, and they're there, and they have an effect on us. And you can literally go back 50 years or 30 years beyond all your, and have these events affect you equally today and not know they're doing it. So, and then that's the law. When the law of attraction is picking up on that, you know, the other, you commented on the post the other day, which I loved your comment. But I said, you know, homeostasis, stop.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And you know, I was actually in class that morning when we were talking about homeostasis is everything is safe. It stays in the center. It's very controlled. Mm-hmm. Anytime the resistance to move beyond homeostasis, the body naturally doesn't want to evolve. It doesn't want to. It's unsafe. It's an unknown. Unknowns freak out the subconscious. I want to stay where it's at. That's why we often don't make changes until we're forced to make changes. I did not go into private practice until I lost my other job. Mm. And because homeostasis did not allow me to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't remember what my comment was.
This is the piece that I'm trying to learn for me that I can share with other people. We become comfortable in the discomfort of where we're at. And we don't even realize it. You don't even realize what's keeping you there. But the fear of the unknown or the fear of change is what. Most great stories begin with something falling apart and people have to respond to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
That's what happens a lot.
So, I'm still fascinated by this machine that you're describing. That you're hooking somebody up and you can actually, just through a series of questions, discover where they have resistances that they don't even know about. And then what do you do with that information? I mean, because now you've discovered the off switch. How do you turn the off switch off?
Well, and that's where the hypnotherapy can come in. When you get somebody in a state where you speak to their subconscious, you can desensitize them to those events. And again, it's a very, I'm simplifying it to a great deal. So I don't, mm-hmm. And it's a very tricky thing because there's some things you don't want to open up. There's some events that the subconscious is protecting on purpose, and you got to know where to go and when not to do that. You can really mess somebody up by getting into the ability. You don't remember something is a protective device by your system. And it doesn't help to go back and do that.
So you don't necessarily buy into the idea that a traditional therapist would have, that you want to go through and find all those things and weed them out. You're saying, no, not necessarily. There are some things it's really just better not to go after.
Right. There's some things that at least from what I will be doing with hypnotherapy, my job of applying the life coaching theory to hypnotherapy, I just need to find where the resistance is. I don't need to go back and open up a can of worms and create a brand new, let's go. We can desensitize to the resistance and let's do that. If somebody was horribly abused and neglected from the time they were 6 to 8 and don't remember it at all, I don't need to open that can of worms for them. That's not, in this theory, the mind is already protected from that. So that's when you have people say, I don't remember large chunks of my childhood. It's not that we're trying to go find that out. There are specialists that deal with that. That's controversial. There's been many lawsuits over those things over the years of whether it's false implanted memory. You risk doing that. You risk planting memories that aren't there. I'm more about okay, you know, what is this about? Where's the resistance in moving forward today?
Yeah.
And you'll find those things a lot without having to like this, but the man didn't forget that his dad was sick. He had no idea that it still had an impact on him.
Right. Right.
That was the difference. We didn't go back and uncover a memory. He remembered it clearly, but he didn't know that was affecting him today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that I can see that's a really valuable thing to uncover, because now if the hypnotherapy is really as effective as you're suggesting it is, and I imagine it probably is, then you've removed resistance for the guy in a way that he wasn't able to remove on his own. That's a real step forward. It's a huge one. I'm also struck though by the fact that, I mean, I can think of people I know who are regular therapists who have therapeutic background like you do, and from their viewpoint, any time that you have anything that went on in the past that created trauma, it needs to be rooted out, kind of like a root canal, and it needs to be cleaned out and eliminated so that it's no longer bothering the person. And what you're suggesting really goes against that theory.
Well, and again, understanding what my role is. Now, there may be a case where, you know, it's really clear from my perspective there was some horrible abuse or something took place. Then I would refer to a traditional therapist to help work on those issues, help them go in that direction.
Okay.
I would refer out, and my role of what I will be doing with hypnotherapy is incredibly effective with weight loss and quitting smoking and law of attraction success, mm-hmm. Fear of public speaking.
Right.
Those things is incredibly effective. And that will be my wheelhouse.
Got it.
I will be referring anytime I come up with someone who has traumatic events. I have excellent trauma therapists that will go work on that and they will deal with it. It won't be my role to open it up and then, not deal with it. It will, if I were to open it up, the concept, you immediately bring them out. You talk to them and say, you restore them to where we started, positive thoughts. However, there's some areas that I think it would be best addressed with this therapist. Here's the number.
Mm-hmm.
Please set that appointment. We can still do what we're doing, but you need to see this person first. And that way it'll do it. But probably 90% of the people see don't have that going on. It's not unknowns that are causing it. It's just not realizing what the knowns that are. That's what's really doing it.
Well, I mean, I can identify with this whole idea of having stuff that's going on, that's been going on for a long time that I'm not aware of. I mean, I ran into that with some energy work that I was doing with Linda Armstrong, who's now doing the Friday afternoon podcast with me. She identified something that I didn't even have a clue was there. She identified that somewhere from my past, who knows where, I had developed a fear that if I was wealthy, I was going to be killed for it. And I'm thinking, really? Wow. I had no idea. That's not something that I was ever aware of, But nevertheless, that's what came out of it. So I can certainly understand that you're going to dig stuff up, that were just completely unexpected. And that must be a little bit freaky for the person who's experienced it, because I know what that felt like. It did feel freaky.
Well, and that's the beauty of it. When you could say, that was it. Everyone I meet with, I tell them at some point, I am not going to tell anyone something they internally don't already know. I'm going to help them reframe it where they can see what they already know and how to use it to their advantage.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to bring them, I believe we all have the ability to fix ourselves, so to speak. We may need help and help sort of seeing it from a different angle. I know one of the clientele that I specialize with is working with younger people in general. They're incredibly brilliant in their own self-care and ability, but you have to help them see it.
Mm.
They're open to it. They're open to the concepts. Much adults automatically have developed a lot of history and a lot of coping mechanisms. You and I have talked about that for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's effective to everybody, but the older you get, the more entrenched these things are and the harder they are to remove. The younger you are, you're like, I didn't believe that anyway. Let's I have no problem giving that up.
That's one of the fun things about your history, because you've had so much history working, particularly with young boys caught in the foster home system who were the so-called, quote, unadoptable ones, unquote. And this is the kind of thing you've done with those kids, and you've helped them find homes, you've helped them improve their lives, get out of bad cycles and so forth. And looking from the outside, the average person, myself included, will think, wow, that's just so amazing what you're doing. And yet, in another sense, you're going after the low-hanging fruit, because like you said, it's easier when you're at a younger age to deal with that stuff.
Yeah, most people find that the most, you know, I have, you know, psychiatrists that are baffled that of my success with this population, because they get them, and the kid will sit there, cross their arms, and like basically tell them to go to hell when they, you know, right. At least with their look. And they say, how do you even get them to talk? And I said, well, it's once they understand what I'm trying to bring, whatever that moment that I can get them to understand, I'm not worried about the stuff that you think I'm worried about. I want to help you, and I want to help you help you. And that's sort of that answer. Everybody I work with, my goal is to help them help them. That's what happened to me. My saving grace was not some random chain of events. My saving grace was my own ability to save myself and understanding I had the tools the entire time. The tools weren't new to me. They were already in me. My realization of those tools was the big answer. Mm-hmm. The law of attraction always was operating. It was operating very efficiently and on the wrong side most of my life.
Right.
But once I understood that, I was able to, I equated it the other day with a young man who has a gambling issue that he's working on right now. I said, when you go to a casino, there's two sides. There's the customer and there's the house. The house is guaranteed to win. Mm-hmm. The deck is stacked in favor of the house.
Right.
Always. Just that's how it works.
Yep.
They couldn't be in business if it was any other way. Well, the law of attraction is the same way. It's stacked in your favor. It works every time. You just have to know how to access it.
That's
be
true.
The house. Don't be the consumer.
To be the house, yes. That's a good saying. Yeah, I like that one. Be the house.
be the house. Just which side are you going to be on? You know, it is that, be that side of it, and that side's a guaranteed win. And that operates us on a daily basis. So the beauty of all this is when people are struggling and they're really, really working hard to, you know, get their life on track. And a lot of times they feel sort of disillusioned with everything. And then they don't realize that disillusionment is part of the resistance. And it's just, it all builds on itself. And then they're mistaken by as I did for in the beginning of my practice. They hear about the law of attraction. They think, well, all I got to do is say the right thing, and not understanding that saying the right thing or trying to attempt to feel gratitude or get to that state of bliss, the point of it isn't what you're saying or even what you're thinking, it's what you're feeling. Learning to control your feelings through that inner dialogue is what you do, but it's not, the inner dialogue's irrelevant, it's what you're feeling. When you sort of bypass that, and I don't know if you ever watch, this will be the first reference ever to Back to the Future series. I'll use an analogy for it. I don't know if you ever watched that, the movie years
All
ago.
All three of them many times, Fox, yes.
Yeah. Without debating the realistic nature of it or not.
Well, but, who cares about that? Fun. That's all that counts.
Exactly. And there's a scene when he goes to the future and he comes back with basically a Mr. Fusion, like a Mr. Coffee.
Right.
You know, he doesn't need they figured it out. We don't need road where we're going. It's a whole different version up there. When you the law of attraction is the same way. The inner dialogue is a great tool in the beginning to get to your subconscious. When you eventually develop the ability to create your own, control your emotions, you don't need the inner dialogue. It naturally would be a good inner dialogue, but it won't be the only way to access it. There'll be a direct way to say, I can go to happiness or bliss or gratitude and get there without all the other stuff. You just automatically get there. And that's how you develop it. And And a lot of people don't get that. And that's what I love about it, of just saying, I can bypass a lot of these procedures by just getting right to bliss.
Mm, yeah. Well, I mean, is it that we don't need the inner dialogue, or is that that the inner dialogue becomes more crystal clear and we get through it quick?
Yeah, either way. You don't need the, where the inner dialogue, and I'm just throwing random numbers up there, say it takes you, a month to convince yourself that you're really grateful for what you have, despite you going through a bunch of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really refine using it, you can just snap your fingers and instantly be, use that quick, wow, I'm so grateful for a thing, and really believe it, and then really be grateful.
So in other words, there's no effort. It's not like you're efforting to get there. You just kind of get there quickly because you're so attuned to being there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I have a lady that I'm working with right now that has a severe, when I say severe, she has a lot going on right now. Mm. She has a whole lot. I spoke with her yesterday, and we were talking about her situation, and she's painted herself into a corner pretty bad. And she said, there is no good answer here. And I said, well, you're probably right. There is no good answer, but there's an answer. And right now, so everything that I would suggest, she was automatically predisposed to saying no.
Mm.
Like I said, why don't we try this? No. Why don't we try this? No, can't do that. Because I said, so right now you're not hearing any solution. You've already accepted that it's hopeless. So there's nothing we can come up with that is going to change that. So I cut our call short. And I said, I will speak to you on Friday. And I said, your homework over the next couple of days is not to try to figure this out. It's to get your mindset open to the idea of the solution without answering no every time something happens, or why it won't work every time. And that's something that you got to work hard on doing, and she will be able to do it. But I got to get her mindset right before she's able to hear anything. That, because there is no solution at this point at all.
It reminds me of something that Mike Dooley once said in a presentation that I saw recorded and played on YouTube, in which he said there was one point in his life before he became the famous Mike Dooley, before Notes from the Universe and all that, where he was at a fork in the road, and he had like three options available to him. And he said the first option was the sucky option. I mean, it was just not a really good option at all. And then the second option was a suckier option. It was even worse than the first one. And then the last one was the suckiest option. So there were three bad options. And his message was, you pick an option so you can get to a new place, so you can have a new set of options. And I thought, well, that's an interesting way to look at it. You know, there's one that's the least sucky, so you go to the least sucky one, and then you see what the new set of options are.
Well, you go to a new perspective, and I never heard him say that, which I love. I'm not a big Mike Dooley fan, but what I love is I try to describe it somewhere, like someplace. Here's the analogy I used. I used this with this lady yesterday. I said, you can't see an answer from your position right now. What I need you to do metaphorically, I want you to envision you're sort of in a little valley, and you can't see where you need to get because you're in the valley. I just need to get you to the top of the hill. That doesn't solve anything. It just gives us a view of what our options are. So sucky option, like you're saying, number one is Mike Dooley said, it's not a right answer. It just gets us to a place where the right answer exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what you're shooting for, because a lot of times when people will say, I was in Florida giving my story or my talk last week, and afterwards there were some comments, and a young lady came up to me and she said, I have no idea how you did what you did. And I said, well, in some ways it was easier for me than what you're suggesting, because I had really no option but to do something. The problem is when you have too many options and you get stuck in what those options are. I didn't have any options. So it really was easier when you don't have options.
That's pretty wild, though, when you think about that, because when we think about somebody who has fallen into a really bad place, you know, just like worst nightmare kind of situation, about the last thing we think about is it's a great thing that I don't have any options.
Right.
Now, we're thinking more about how miserable it is to be in that place. But that's not the way you saw it. What do you think made that difference? Why was it that everyone else saw it as, oh, my God, I'm in this terrible place, and you thought of it as, well, I don't have any options left. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, what is the saying, when all legitimate options have been exhausted, the only thing left is your only course of action or something along those lines. Mm. It's like, okay, well, I mean, I can be stuck in a million different choices, or saying, okay, there's only one way out of this building. I gotta, no matter how bad that way out is, I gotta go out. Mm. So, you know?
So that's basically like, as the way you said that, it almost sounded like a fireman trying to get somebody out of a burning building. Well, there's only one way out, so you go the one way that there is to go out.
Yes. Yes. And that's so in some ways it was easier for me. Well, you know, when I left the company that I was working with before, again, there's no way I could fathom leaving that. I had played with the idea of but until the event happened where I was no longer working there, nothing was going to happen. I had the option, the comfortable option of staying in the job that I was at. I wasn't required to do anything. So I stayed where it was the most comfortable and the least scary. Well, when I was forced to the next step, it forced me into I always am appreciative for not, while it's happening, I can't say that I'm always appreciative because it can be scary. But it isn't so much scary anymore because I just know how things have worked out for me. So no matter what happens, I know I'm fine. And it leads, and I wouldn't have the 5 years since I've been gone from the company have been some of the greatest growth in my life. I've added more than I possibly ever imagined I could have done to what I'm doing, where my law of attraction concepts have grown so much, and I have the life that I love, and there's a lot of bad stuff that's happened in the middle of that time too. But at the same time, I'm able to look at it as everything's going forward. It's just it's a progression and good, bad, and ugly, and I'm still going forward.
I was just realizing as you were describing all of that, that we can tie this back to that post you referred to earlier that I commented on, where the post said something like, homeostasis, don't do it. And what I realized as you were describing that is for many people, homeostasis that is actually not a really good place. It's comfortable because it's familiar. It's familiar, and so in that familiarity, it feels sort of quasi-safe. But 9 times out of 10, it's really not a very good place at all when you look at it from the perspective of what's actually happening in that place. It's just that you're familiar with it. So, okay, that's familiar, so that feels safe.
Well, and that's what, you know, homeostasis does. It's the body's natural innate desire to be safe, be comfortable. It's what, you know, what's out there is scary, and this goes way back in time. You know, there's dinosaurs out there. When I don't want to leave the cave, they're going to eat me. Or, you know, home keeps you safe. It keeps you where you're at. And safe is good sometimes, but growth is, every great growth period is a disruption of homeostasis. Mm-hmm. When you're growing, when an 11-year-old boy or girl starts going through puberty, the homeostasis is disrupted. It's not safe. It's exploding. You know, the idea that you're, you know, there was this, I think it was between 6th and 7th grade. You know, I grew like 4 inches in 3 shoe sizes and put on 20 pounds in like 2 or 3 months.
Oh, boy.
And it, you know, that's just like, boom, you know, you know, one summer, my son TJ, he started the school, the summer wearing a size 5 boy shoe, and when school started, we bought a size 10 men's shoe.
Mm-hmm.
In one summer. And that's so crazy. That homeostasis is anti-growth. It isn't it's that safety comfort zone. It's great. It's what sort of keeps the human condition alive and going forward. We'd be dead without the desire to be safe on some level. But it also is a prohibitor of growth because it you don't take chances. Great companies don't start just because randomly they start. They usually start because somebody loses a job and they do something, or they start an idea. And then, you know, when the I was reading, I think it was the Jeff Bezos from Amazon was talking about when Amazon was starting, it was almost done multiple times. I mean, they barely made it in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was his parents or there was a relative that took out a second mortgage on their home.
Wow.
To give him money to keep it going, or he would have gone down. Now,
wow.
I think that money on their second mortgage, they got stock for that, by the way. I think they're worth $1 million now.
At least.
Yeah. So, but my point is, it wasn't safe for him to do that. He created, and I know Amazon gets a lot of criticism. I'm a huge Amazon fan. I'm just, I really am. I just, they're not a perfect company. There is no such thing, but no. I am really impressed with the background and sort of growing up and being in my adult life, watching this company go become this incredible company. It's pretty impressive. I mean, their growth is incredible. Mm. There was a time where I remember Walmart, everybody said Walmart's destroying the world. There's nobody will ever compete about Walmart. Walmart is like, yeah, we're not Amazon. I mean, Amazon's like, you know, a giant killer. And I'm not always saying that's good either, but you get my point. The people, Amazon came out of it was a lot of desperation early, and it was an idea of some dude selling books online.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
And people are like, yeah. And now it turned into just, you know, just an unlimited company. In a sense, they're sort of their own version of Berkshire Hathaway. Now they're just big conglomerate of doing whatever they want to do.
Pretty much.
And so I love those stories. I love how the law of attraction works. So I challenge our audience. This is what excites me about the law of attraction. I challenge our audience. When you're at your bottom, or what you're perceiving a bottom, when you're wallowing in the bottom, so to speak, or wallowing in the loss, you're missing the point. You have been freed of the confines of your comfort. You are now in position to use the law of attraction for the greatest adventure of your life, if you choose to do it, or if you choose to stay in the dungeon, the dungeon of it all. I'm miserable. I've lost all this. I'm not making fun of people. I've been through all this stuff. I'm not making light of people's situation. But when you can flip that switch and say, this is the greatest opportunity I've ever been afforded in my life, let me believe that now and watch what happens.
Mm, yeah. Well, I mean, talking about what you said earlier about the dinosaur, right? You're inside the cave and the dinosaur's out there, and you're not going to go out there because the dinosaur is going to eat you. Well, that's that homeostasis we were talking about. That's that secure, safe place that doesn't have any growth going on. And that's the good news. The good news is the dinosaur is not going to eat you. The bad news is you're not going to get any food. I mean, unless you've got a whole supply of food in that cave, you're in a bad place. Because at some point, you got to go out to get that food. You got a deer getting around that dinosaur in order to get that food. Otherwise, you're going to die of starvation. So even the safe places really aren't all that safe, it turns out. They only are safe from one perspective. But when you look at other stuff that's going on, all of a sudden, the safety doesn't look all that good.
Well, you know, the old whoever said it, fill in the blank person, brilliant man, obviously, or person, you know, the safest place for a ship is a harbor, but that's not what ships are made for.
Right.
You know, we're much more resilient than we realize. We're not made to live in the harbor or the safety of the ship. And I think we miss that a lot. I am grateful. I mean, beyond gratitude for all the things that forced me out of living in that comfort zone. I would have had probably the most unfulfilling life I could have ever imagined if I would have fallen into the confines of the comfort zone. Mm. And you know, if I would have not, you know, I didn't necessarily always do it the best way. I'm not really proud of, you know, some of the ways I sort of brought all this about. But at the end of the day, my response to it, I couldn't imagine having a better life than I have now. I have, you know, like I said, I just feel on fire every day about, well, I can't wait to this next thing. I'm doing my, you know, hypnotherapy now. I have a couple of other ideas after that where I'm all coming together. I had a colleague at my office the other day go, we were talking about this, and he's like, why do you need to do that? You don't need to add that. And I go, I didn't say I don't need to. I want to. It's added value to me. It's part of this journey. It's part of that discovery. You know, I don't want to take my foot off the gas in my life. I don't. I like to push forward. I like to just see what's next. That's what I wake up every day. Just, I can't wait to see what life brings.
That's a great attitude to have, because that's how you get to that blissful state, right?
Absolutely. When you're living in a day where you're like, wow, today's going to bring something great, something new, you know, new opportunities, new feelings, new whatever. And you don't know where that's going to go, but that's where that law of action is taking place. I'm taking action. So this is going to take place. This is going to move forward.
Speaking of taking action, I want to take a moment. I want to remind our listeners to take some action. First of all, people who are not yet subscribers, maybe this is the first episode you've heard, and we've got over 500 of them, but there's a lot of good reasons to subscribe, because we keep putting out all this great content, 11 shows a week, and you can get all of it coming right to your smartphone just by subscribing to the podcast. Really easy to do on an iPhone. Just go through your podcast software that's built in, do a little search there, and we'll pop right up when you search for LOA Today. On an Android phone, you have to do a little bit more. You have to go into the Play Store and get some kind of podcast manager or app of some kind. There are a lot of them in there. Just search on podcast app, and there'll be a whole bunch that'll come up. Some of them for fee, some of them are free. I usually like the free ones, but just grab one, install it, and then once you install it, do a search in there for LOA Today. We'll pop right up, and you can hit the subscribe button there as well. There's also a link right on our homepage and has all this description of how to do this. But there's a link that you can click on directly that can also help you with that at loatoday.net. Whatever way you do it, be sure you subscribe, because you want all these great episodes coming to your smartphone every day. And for those people who are regular, longtime subscribers, we want you as well to take a moment and just post something somewhere about loatoday.net, because the more people we get doing that, we've been talking about this the last few weeks, and it really has been boosting our numbers, Joel. We're seeing a nice spike in numbers since we started doing this about 2.5 weeks ago. And it just comes from people just saying, you know, I'm listening to LOAToday.net, you know, that's what I'm doing right now. That's my status, right? And when you do that, it isn't just the people you know. This is something that I was talking about with Cindy yesterday, and I think with Wendy, that it's not just the people you know. Because of the way social media works, if you're connected like 2 or 3 degrees away from somebody else, sometimes they'll find out about it. And there's somebody you don't even know. You have no idea who they are. But because you posted something, they found out about the show. And now they have a way to get more happiness into their lives. So we urge you, please take a moment to share as well as subscribe. And, you know, continue to enjoy being participants and listeners of LOA Today.
I love that. I'm glad we're doing that. It's such a, I can't wait to see where this continues to go and grow. And I've always felt that this is a mission for us. It originally we just started talking to each other on the,
right,
on the radio, so to speak.
Pretty much.
But it is really grown. And I just think it's just the beginning of the growth now.
I think it's going to be really exciting. And I want to thank you for helping clarify something for me, because it's been part of my thing over the last week, 10 days or so, trying to understand what it's going to take for me to get into bliss when I'm doing any kind of appreciation. And I think your insight is right. You know, I'll just get there. Just keep after it and I'll get there. It's just a question of when. I don't know when, but it's going to happen.
You made it part of your awareness. It has no choice to happen. If you can't imagine doing it, then you will not be able to do it. Now you know you can do it. It's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. And so now I just keep applying myself. Joel, my friend, this has been great. Before we leave, how does somebody reach out to you? Because you're a really great coach. How do they reach out if they want some private association with you?
Joel Elston at Gmail is a quick way to get me. Also, my website is joelelston.com. If I can't help you, I can find somebody to refer to you that can.
All right. Very good. Well, Joel, my friend, it's been great. I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Bye, buddy. Have a good day.
Yep. You too. We'll see you all next time as well here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.